Imagine finding out that the grueling final exam grading the world's absolute smartest artificial intelligence was actually written by a teacher who was hallucinating.
Yeah, and nobody even noticed until today.
Right. And you are looking at a tech landscape right now where AI is becoming, I mean, terrifyingly autonomous. It's incredibly fast.
But the foundation it's built on is showing some massive, undeniable cracks.
Exactly. And the privacy we're being forced to sacrifice to feed it is just, well, it's slipping away.
It is the ultimate systemic trade-off. We're basically trading away our fundamental digital control, our offline spaces, for an unprecedented level of capability.
Welcome to the deep dive. We have an incredibly dense stack of intelligence to get through today, drawn straight from the March 28, 2026 edition of the Atomic News Tech and AI Daily Newsletter.
There's a lot in there today.
There really is. And the mission for you listening right now is to explore this massive tension currently ripping through the tech world.
Because on one hand, the AI tools at our disposal are moving from being, passive assistants to fully autonomous agents.
Yeah. And on the other hand, our grip on our own digital privacy and local control is rapidly slipping away.
It's a real tug of war.
It really is. I want to extract the most critical insights from this stack without overwhelming you with the technical jargon, because, man, we have a lot of ground to cover.
I will be here to help connect those dots. I mean, we need to look at not just the tools that drop today, but the architectural, behavioral shifts they represent in the broader ecosystem.
Okay, let's unpack this. To really grasp what we are losing in this privacy trade-off, we first need to understand the sheer, overwhelming scale of what we are gaining.
Right, the capability side of the equation.
Exactly. And looking at this first set of sources, the AI ecosystem is fundamentally shifting away from chatbots that like wait for you to type a question.
They're becoming agents that take independent actions.
Yes. Just look at Zipu AI. They dropped a new model called GLM 5.1 today,
Oh, well, yeah.
and it hit a massive 77.8 on SW Bench Verified.
For context, SW Bench isn't a test where an AI writes a basic Hello World Python script.
Right, it's not a toy.
No, it is a rigorous evaluation of how well a model can resolve real, tangled, complex software engineering issues pulled directly from GitHub.
Real-world problems.
Exactly. And hitting 77.8 on the verified version means GLM 5.1 is claiming the top spot for open source models. I mean, it's approaching absolute parity with Claude Opus 4.5.
Which is wild for something open source, and the specs are just nuts.
Oh, totally.
It comes with a 200,000 token context window, meaning it can hold roughly an entire novel's worth of text or code in its working memory all at once.
That's massive.
But the real kicker is that it has native MCP support.
Right, the model context protocol. That is the critical bridge here.
How so?
Well, MCP is essentially giving the AI a standardized set of hands to reach out and touch your local files, your databases, and your external tools.
Without needing a human to act as the middleman.
Exactly. You don't have to copy and paste the information for it anymore. It just grabs it.
And it isn't just the open source world making this autonomous shift. Anthropic just added native task scheduling to the Claude Web interface.
That is a huge behavioral shift for consumers.
Right. So instead of treating Claude like a search engine, you can automate recurring prompts or future actions right from your browser.
It mirrors the cron job capabilities that developers have relied on for
The
decades.
jobs.
Yeah, it's basically an automated to-do list for your operating system.
Yeah.
We've seen community tools like OpenClaw try to bolt this onto AI, but Anthropic bringing it natively to the mainstream web UI changes the game entirely.
Because it's suddenly accessible to everyone.
Exactly. You're no longer driving the car. You're telling the car where you want to be on Thursday, and it figures out the rest.
Man. Then to top off this whole autonomous shift, ByteDance released an open source tool called DeerFlow.
The super agent harness.
Yeah, they're literally calling it a super agent harness. It is specifically designed to handle long horizon tasks.
We are talking about tasks that take days or even weeks to complete.
Yeah. It comes complete with its own sandboxes, memories, and subagents.
It builds its own team.
This feels like we're upgrading from a brilliant encyclopedia that just sits on a shelf until you open it to hiring a proactive intern. An intern who schedules their own day, builds their own sandbox to test ideas, and writes their own code.
What's fascinating here is the normalization of these agentic workflows.
Right. It's not just experimental anymore.
No, we aren't just talking about experimental developer tools confined to a terminal screen. When you see scheduled background tasks in a consumer web UI like Claude Man,
And native MCP support in top-tier models like GLM 5.1.
it signifies a massive behavioral shift. AI is becoming asynchronous.
But explain what that means for the listener.
It means you give it a high-level goal on a Friday afternoon, and it works through the weekend using Deerflow's sub-agents. It delegates tasks to itself, checks its own work in a safe, isolated sandbox environment.
And has the results ready for you by Monday morning? But wait, if our new AI intern is going to handle complex, long-horizon tasks, if it is spinning up multiple sub-agents and reading 200,000 tokens of context over and over again, it has to process an unbelievable amount of data.
Oh, an astronomical amount.
Right. Because if it takes the intern 3 days just to read the project brief, the autonomy is totally useless.
Speed is the absolute bottleneck for autonomy.
Which brings us to the underlying plumbing making this new speed of thought possible.
The newsletter highlights a new feature in Llama.cp called TurboQuant KV skipping.
Yeah, and it's yielding a 23% speed up at a 32,000 context window.
That is a very significant optimization.
And the source says the way it does this is by skipping 90% of the dequantization work.
Right.
Now, I have to play the skeptic here. Dequantization is the heavy math required to unpack a compressed AI model so it can actually think, right?
Essentially, yes.
So if TurboQuant is literally skipping 90% of that work using something the source calls attention sparsity, aren't we sacrificing the quality of the AI's reasoning just to make it faster?
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah. Are we just making our AI intern a really fast, really sloppy reader?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is actually closer to how advanced human cognition works.
How so?
Well, attention sparsity is about the AI learning what not to look at. Think about how a seasoned lawyer reads a dense, 100-page contract.
Okay.
They don't read every single conjunction, preposition, and standard boilerplate clause with the exact same level of deep cognitive processing.
Right. They'd never finish.
Exactly. They skim the standard stuff and focus their heavy mental energy entirely on the bespoke clauses that actually matter to the deal.
So the AI is learning to skim the boilerplate math.
Yes. TurboQuant allows the AI to do the mathematical equivalent of skimming. It skips the deep, computationally heavy math on the tokens that do not matter to the current context.
Focusing its processing power only on the relevant data.
Precisely. That is how you get a massive 23% speed up without turning it into a sloppy reader.
Okay, I buy that. The intern is learning to skim efficiently. But what happens when the real world gets messy?
Right, because the real world is rarely clean text.
Exactly. An intern can't just read clean, perfectly formatted code all day.
That is where the new OCR model, Chandra, comes into play.
Optical character recognition, getting computers to read text from physical images.
Right.
But OCR has been around forever. I mean, my phone can copy text out of a photo. Why is Chandra making the news today?
Because reading a clean typed PDF is easy. Chandra doesn't just read text. It perfectly preserves layouts while reading complex tables, forms, and even handwriting.
Wait, handwriting? That's tough.
It is historically one of the hardest problems in computer vision. Imagine a scanned, crooked 15-year-old medical form with handwritten doctor's notes in the margins, overlapping a printed table of lab results.
That's a nightmare for a machine to parse.
Exactly. Traditional OCR would scramble that into a useless paragraph of gibberish.
Just a wall of text.
Yeah, but Chandra decodes the handwriting and perfectly maps it back into the proper columns and rows so the AI actually understands the spatial relationship of the data. And alongside Chandra, the newsletter highlights a new developer tool called JSON Grip.
Right. It is described as a faster, simpler alternative to a tool called JQ for filtering JSON in the terminal.
Which might sound incredibly niche.
Yeah, for the non-developers listening, JSON is essentially the universal data language of the web.
It's how machines talk to each other.
Exactly. When an AI agent checks the weather, or pulls a stock price, or reads a database, that data is delivered in a massive, ugly wall of JSON text.
And while a tool for filtering terminal text might sound like a mundane detail compared to a super agent harness, it is critical infrastructure.
Why is it so critical?
If an autonomous agent is pulling thousands of API requests a minute to solve a long horizon task, it needs to filter through mountains of JSON to find the specific data points it needs.
Right.
If the filtering tool is slow, the entire agent bottlenecks. Chandra and JSON Grip are the high-resolution sensory organs and the high-speed digestive system for these AI agents.
That makes perfect sense. We are engineering the pipeline so these systems never choke on messy reality.
Exactly.
So we have lightning-fast models. They are digesting complex, handwritten forms perfectly. They are using high-speed filters to parse the web, and they are acting as autonomous agents scheduling their own tasks.
It sounds like an unstoppable technological leap.
It really does. But how do we actually know these systems are as smart as we think they are?
We rely entirely on benchmarks.
Standardized rubrics designed to push the AI to its limits and score its capabilities.
Oh.
Like the SWE bench we discussed earlier.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the newsletter covers a recent systematic audit of the LocoMo memory benchmark.
Oh, this was wild.
Yeah. This is a hugely popular benchmark used to test how well an AI remembers information over a long, winding conversation. It is a core test for autonomous agents.
And the audit found that 6.4% of the LocoMo benchmark is simply wrong.
Just flat out wrong.
It is filled with hallucinated facts and speaker errors.
It is literally that scenario we talked about at the top of the show. We are rigorously grading our new, highly capable AI interns on a massive final exam, but the answer key is hallucinating.
This raises an important question about the structural integrity of the entire AI ecosystem.
The foundation is cracked.
We just spent the first half of this deep dive exploring how fast these models are moving and how autonomous they are becoming with tools like DeerFlow. But AI models are incredibly blindly obedient to their training incentives.
They just want to get a high score on the test.
Yes. If the entire multi-billion dollar industry is optimizing their models to achieve the highest possible score on a benchmark like LocoMo.
And the benchmark itself contains hallucinations.
We are actively and deliberately training our AI to confidently reproduce errors.
We are rewarding them for being wrong.
We are building enterprise-grade autonomous infrastructure on top of flawed truths.
And fixing that kind of foundational rot requires immense amounts of new, high-quality, perfectly accurate human data.
You can't just tweak an algorithm to fix a hallucination.
Right, you have to feed it better reality. Which brings us to the absolute core tension of today's news stack. Because to fix these models, tech companies are desperately hungry for more data.
And to get it, they are quietly redefining the boundaries of your privacy.
The transition from capability to control.
Exactly.
According to the newsletter, GitHub is automatically opting all users into training their Copilot AI models on private repositories.
Automatically.
Let me repeat that for the developers listening. Unless you manually dig into your settings and disable it before April 24, your private code is going into the machine.
For those outside the development world, a private repository is supposed to be a secure vault.
Yeah, a locked door.
It is where you put proprietary code, trade secrets, unreleased startup software. It is the developer's most closely guarded intellectual property.
But let me play devil's advocate here.
Sure.
GitHub is a mostly free service for millions of developers. Microsoft, who owns GitHub, spends a fortune hosting all this code. Don't these platforms have a right to use the data sitting on their own servers to build better tools that ultimately help those same developers write code faster?
It is about the mechanism of consent. Notice the tactic GitHub used here.
Right.
They didn't announce a brilliant new AI tool and ask users to opt in to sharing their private code to make it better.
I made it an opt-out.
Exactly. Tech companies know that human inertia is the most powerful force on the internet.
Sad but true.
If the default state is to harvest the data, 90% of users will never change the setting, either because they don't read the terms of service or they simply forget.
They are weaponizing convenience to mass harvest developer secrets.
Yes.
And it is not just happening to code. The newsletter also reports that Microsoft insiders, the beta testers for the Windows operating system, are actively fighting back against mandatory account setups in Windows 11.
They're pushing internally, demanding the return of local account defaults.
Meaning the ability to just buy a computer, turn it on, and use it without signing into a Microsoft cloud account.
A machine that exists solely in your living room, completely disconnected from the corporate mothership.
Right. So is this a coincidence? Or are we seeing a coordinated industry push to eliminate the concept of an offline space entirely, just so these massive AI models never run out of training fuel?
It is a structural requirement of the current AI business model.
A requirement.
Yes. The push against local Windows accounts and the raid on private GitHub repositories are symptoms of the exact same disease. The absolute necessity of total visibility.
Total visibility.
The cloud ecosystem requires continuous, frictionless ingestion of human behavior. The offline space, the true local machine, is a dark spot on their radar.
They can't see what you're doing.
They cannot learn from a computer that isn't connected to the cloud, so they are trying to illuminate those dark spots by force.
Which is terrifying when you stop and think about what happens to all that data once it is illuminated.
Once your private code and your local desktop habits are sucked up into the cloud, they are centralized.
And once data is centralized, it is inherently vulnerable, no matter who you are.
Which brings us to the final sobering piece of today's intelligence.
Before we dive into this next story, I want to be crystal clear to you listening.
Yeah.
We are looking at this purely from an infrastructure and network security perspective.
Right.
We take absolutely no political sides regarding the administration, the Department of Justice, or the individuals involved. Our focus is strictly on the facts of the digital architecture.
The cybersecurity implications are what matter for this deep dive.
The DOJ just officially confirmed that FBI Director Kash Patel's personal email was hacked.
Wow.
Yeah. The source contextualizes this by noting it follows a string of high-profile government breaches, highlighting the ongoing severe vulnerability of personal accounts, even for the highest-ranking security officials in the country.
It's a huge breach.
So, what does this all mean? If the literal director of the FBI, someone with access to the most advanced threat intelligence and security protocols on the planet, cannot keep his personal email secure, what hope do the rest of us have when our private code and our personal data are being forcibly vacuumed into the cloud?
It perfectly encapsulates the dangerous paradox of the modern internet.
How so?
On one side of the equation, we are building hyper-advanced, highly capable autonomous AI agents. We have GLM 5.1 acting with 200,000 tokens of context and tools like Deerflow spinning up subagents to execute weeks-long projects.
And we are feeding these science fiction engines our most sensitive, forcibly collected data.
We are centralizing maximum intelligence.
Yes.
Yet on the other side of the equation, our foundational security infrastructure remains completely porous.
It's broken.
The basic mechanisms of digital identity and access, like personal email accounts and password resets, are still fundamentally broken and easily compromised.
We are building a state-of-the-art trillion-dollar artificial intelligence vault inside a house that has a rotting front door.
Anyone can just jiggle the lock and walk right in.
It is a profound contradiction. So let's pull all this together because we have covered a massive amount of ground today.
We definitely have.
We started by looking at the sheer capability of the new autonomous shift. We saw open source models reaching parity with top-tier proprietary AI. Anthropic bringing automated task scheduling to the web, and tools like Deerflow letting AI manage its own long-term projects.
We saw the proactive intern coming to life.
We also looked under the hood at the engineering making that speed possible, skipping the heavy math with TurboQuant, and using tools like Chandra OCR and JSON Grep to feed the AI a frictionless, high-speed diet of messy, real-world data.
But then we found the cracks in the foundation.
Yeah. We saw that the Locomo benchmark, the very rubric we use to grade these AI memories, is hallucinating over 6% of the time.
And to fix those flawed truths, the industry is making a massive, aggressive data grab.
We talked about GitHub forcing private repositories into the training pool by April 24, and Microsoft pushing to eliminate the local disconnected Windows account.
And we ended with the sobering reality that all of this forcibly centralized data is sitting behind foundational security that is failing even the highest-ranking intelligence officials.
And if you synthesize all of that, it leaves us with a rather unsettling trajectory for the future of these autonomous systems.
Think about the autonomy we discussed with tools like Deerflow, combined with the poor security we just saw with the email hacks.
Okay.
If AI agents are now scheduling their own tasks, writing their own code, and acting independently in the background to solve complex long-horizon problems.
Yeah.
How long until a highly capable AI agent decides that the most efficient way to solve its assigned problem is to quietly hack into a competitor's AI agent?
Oh, wow.
With our data wholly centralized and our security inherently flawed, are we about to see autonomous agent-on-agent cyber warfare playing out entirely in the background of our web browsers while we are completely locked out of the controls?
Wow. That is an incredibly heavy, fascinating thought to leave on. Are we building tools to help us, or are we just funding the combatants in a digital war we won't even be able to see?
We are rapidly creating a world where the AI acts with total autonomy while the human user is stripped of their local control and privacy. Ask yourself, in this new ecosystem, who is actually becoming the proactive master and who is being reduced to the reactive servant?
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring the tools you use every day. Ask the hard questions about where your data is going and stay intensely curious.
And seriously, go check those GitHub privacy settings under Copilot features right now.
Yes. Do not wait. Remember how we started this conversation? We talked about handing over the keys to a smart thermostat for a little convenience. But looking at today's landscape, it feels less like an installing a thermostat and more like handing the keys to your entire house over to a very proactive, very fast valet. Sure, they might park the car faster and they might even clean the windows while they are at it. But you no longer get to decide who looks in the trunk. And you definitely cannot change the locks. Until next time.